welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. We are here, boys, to atone for last week's episode. It was such garbage. I feel conflicted about even putting my name on it. But like all great performers, we need to turn the page after a bad show, and we need to get back on the horse. And we're going to get back on the horse today, boys, with some good topics, some controversial topics, some things that need to be talked about. But first, because of business, I need to talk about the Communion app. Communion is a church communications application that works for iOS and Android and your PC. You can find it at links.communionapp.com/thehappyrant. And if you tell them we sent you, you get a discount. Communion is scalable. That means if you're a huge church, there's a solution for big churches, medium-sized churches, tiny churches, hipster churches, small town churches, which is the new city churches. Communion is for everyone. And we hope you use the app. We hope you tell them that the Happy Rant sent you, and you will love it because it operates a lot like Facebook without making people in your congregation who are off Facebook for convictional reasons, people like Big T, that way they don't have to get on Facebook to know what's going on in the church.
I think I just discovered a new favorite version of Ted, and it's speaking in third person, Ted.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm like Alan
Iverson. Convictional Ted. I love it.
Convictional Teddy, man. That's the...
Convictional T.
I'm dropping that.
It sounds like a contradiction in terms.
I was going to say, to be fair, Convictional Teddy sounds a little bit like homeschool honeymoon wear or something like that, so...
Which anyway, is another company I'm launching.
No,
I've been crushing.
No, that's not good.
crushing my days. Dude, for some reason, Ron, the whole like day crusher thing that we did like a month ago is still like to this day the funniest thing that's come out of the pandemic for me. I don't know why like I'm so tickled by these like I don't know business like performance guys that are so keen on that.
Oh, right. Like we're talking about like what was it?
How we're going to get up in the morning and like crush the day.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
See, I'm just used to doing that. Whine. I don't even identify with like, how do we talk about it? It's who I am.
Oh, for sure, dude.
I'm a day. I just crush.
Yeah, you're a day crusher.
I feel like if you're an actual day crusher, you don't talk about it. It's a little bit like if you're an actual confident person, you don't call yourself confident. You just are.
Fact.
And so
if you're actually strong, you're not having to post pictures of your workout and all that stuff. Like,
yeah, you'll just rip somebody's arms off as needed. You know, it's just, you're
you'll
like,
literally crush someone.
Yeah. Just when the opportunity presents itself, you just do it. So yeah, for those of you who are not bragging about day crushing, you're probably doing it, and you're just a natural.
Dude, you know who is crushing the quarantine though? Like, all kidding aside, our boy Brett McCracken. Brett recently released a list of 25 essential foreign films to watch during the quarantine. This struck me in the pantheon of Brett McCracken like movie flexes. This struck me as even a layer deeper. This was a bigger flex, maybe the biggest McCracken flex of all time. And I have a theory. I think it's because, okay, if you're a non-believer, right? So if you're just like pagan, worldly, too cool for Christianity, too hipster, too enlightened, whatever, you have a whole world of insufferability at your fingertips. Like, there's no end to how insufferable you can be. You know what I mean? You can like read half a science article and drop that in. You could do all these things. You can go like full Michael Gungor on it. But because Brett claims Christ, and we're glad that he does, his world of insufferability, his insufferability window is smaller. But I think he's leaning into it with this one. What do you guys think of that theory? Pipe, give me your thoughts.
What I think you're onto something. I think he also functions in just a sphere of like art criticism where insufferability is like the currency. If
sure.
You can't be like an everyman art critic. You can't be a good hang movie reviewer. You know,
yeah,
like you
that's just true, dude. Those things are mutually exclusive.
Yeah, so that you have to function at a level of insufferability to even to swim in those waters, if you will. So yeah, I think you're onto something that there. It's definitely a small bullseye of like, how do we get away with this? But yeah. Also still kind of hack it in the world of insufferable D-bags in general.
Dude, totally. And shout out to Brett for like, I feel like he created his dream job. You know what I mean? Where he's like, I'm a Christian. I love Christ. I'm also insufferable. I'm going to make a way for this to work, you know? And shout out to him for doing that. Like, not many people can do it. He did it. Ronald, what do you think?
Go ahead, Pi.
I was going to say, I want to hear your thoughts. I was going to take this a different direction. So I'd need to hear your thoughts first.
No, I don't know what my thought. Here's my thoughts is, the whole idea of like a critic, like a journalist who critiques, who just watches things and then, vents his, I mean, it's kind of like what we do every week on this, but there's something about like, I mean, I hit like a wall with that because I was always like, I don't want to talk about other people's art. I just want to make art, you know? So I'm that insufferable guy on the other end of it. But like this idea of just wanting to view things or read things and then, report, write reviews, critique. It is the most like for how I'm built and wired. It's the most foreign thing to me ever. I just don't get it. I don't get like the appeal of it. So I'm not even critical of McCracken. I mean, everybody has their thing, but I can't even get my head into that space because it's so like, I don't know what's appealing about that. And I know people have to do it. I'm not saying it shouldn't exist, but in my realm of thinking, I just go, okay, go for it. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah. It's hard for me to understand how criticism, not like insulting, but arty criticism improves enjoyment of something. You know, like it seems to be at odds with just sort of the sense of like, man, that was fun, or the sense of wow, that was amazing. I feel like it's, taking it into the sports realm, you can either like break down a play or you can just like cheer at a play, but you can't do both. You have to be, and I feel like it's the same with art. So it is somewhat draining to me to be in the critic realm because I'm like, oh, it takes away from the fun of these mediums.
That's a great point, Pipe. Let me ask you boys this, let me bring up something that is obviously created a bit of a rift between us. It's called Happy Rant Sports.
Okay.
But I think
let's do this finally, Pipe. We're talking about it.
Oh, it's come out.
Boys, I'm tired, dragged it into the light. Tired of not dealing with this.
Boys. Yeah, it's good.
No, but here's what I'm going to say is like, so when I think of you guys riffing on what you riff on, whatever you've riffed on, obviously I've never and I will never listen.
Never. To that, no. Yeah.
But that to me is like so different than like basically being like a movie critic or like a literary critic or one of those people. To me, I love talking about certain things, but not as a way to sort of prove to somebody whether they should enjoy it or not. You know what I mean? But I mean, I get you guys wanting to vamp about, football and, soccer or whatever you guys talk about.
We talk a lot of soccer.
Yeah, not a lot of soccer on there. Much more of a tennis and cricket show, really.
Like soccer and like ping pong or whatever you guys discuss on that whole thing. But like, yeah, so I get that. Like, I get the enjoyment of that. What I don't get is just, man, all I want to do is watch that Malick movie so that I can tell people whether it's worth their time. And again, it's not even criticism of McCracken. I just would love to hear you guys talk about how does somebody get to the place where that's what they want to be? And maybe I'm taking this thing in a weird direction.
Maybe it's called being an academic. Okay. Because academia has no concern for enjoyment. This is why like most professors are bad. You know what I mean? Because they're like, they're so fired up about the content that they're not paying a whole lot of attention to like, are my students is this going to make their lives more joyful, right? Like, how are they going to enjoy learning about this or practicing it or whatever? And I think that's where criticism is, right? So like criticism isn't concerned with enjoyment, whereas Happy Rant Sports is, right? I mean, Happy Rant Sports is just, two guys not claiming to know everything, but like enjoying the process of talking about some stupid sports thing. And I think, you know, because we're Christians, we hold this stuff with a loose hand, right? So like, I don't care who won the 1989 slam dunk contest. Like, I'm not going to war over it. Like, it's just a stupid thing to enjoy that's there for us. And, you know, we can have some laughs about it. So it has value. Whereas, yeah, I don't know. And yeah, this isn't a rip on Brett at all. If anything, it's a tip of the cap for like kind of chiseling out the perfect career. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like almost a 95% fit for him. Whereas like for us, I don't know, on a good day, our careers are probably like 75%. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's the most generous percentage I've ever heard, baby.
Yeah, dude. If I hit 75, I'm feeling good.
It's the best day you've ever had.
You would describe that as the
best day of my life.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. But I don't know. I feel like he's hitting on all cylinders right now. And that's it.
The happy ramp where we're just trying to get to that 75% day.
Oh, dude, it's like 85, 90% on this show, except last week when it was like 12%. That was
bad. I don't even think we get a passing grade for last week. Yeah, we're solid F minus.
If we could only return everybody's money that they don't pay for this, it would make us feel so much better, boys.
That's true. I don't want to lose listeners over it though, baby. I care about that. Boys, I want to talk about another quarantine flex.
Yes.
And it's the six books thing, right? This is ridiculous, dude. So this is like the kind of internet thing that just sucks all the way around. But it's the thing where somebody started saying, like, screenshot a picture of the six books that are within arm's length. And you're getting these beautiful, like, curated shots of, like, oh, it's a volume of Foucault, right on top of, like, you know.
I'm looking up mine right now because I did it a couple weeks ago.
You know, right on top of just kind of the fun, like, piece of creative nonfiction, whatever this year's Hillbilly Elegy is, you know. So it's these, like, obviously.
And you know, some of them will throw in a novel. It's whatever novel is sort of critically acclaimed recently. So, like, take, I don't know, Where the Crawdads Sing. I realize that's, like, a year old now. So, sorry, folks, for not being up on these things.
You throw in your novel. You throw in a book by a black guy. You know, you're checking all the boxes, right? Like, it's just the most curated thing ever. But it's meant
to is six token books. It is tokenism in book form.
Right, six books that represent exactly what I want you to think about me, but they're not the actual six books. Also, nobody has six books within, like, arm's length of wherever they're
My Saddleback satchel doesn't hold six books. If I put a laptop in there and my three moleskins, what am I, like, how am I supposed to fit six books in there? This is untenable.
Saddleback, but, yeah, dude, they're not for holding books. I mean, those Saddleback bags, they hold, like, a half a notebook and a pen.
Dude, what bag did you boys get, man? My bag holds like it holds a whole like a basket full of books, man.
Baby, I'm not talking about like.
Are you carrying around like the trunk?
Pastor books, like real books. I don't know. It's thin, like it's a slim. I don't know this thing I'm looking at. I forget.
Yeah, the one I got, man. Really, it'll hold some books, man. It'll hold some library. You know, it'll hold a little piece of your library.
Yeah, I think if I put my laptop, which is a MacBook Air, so not a large laptop, along with a couple moleskins, which I always have with me, I could probably fit 3 to 4 books in mine. So there's no way I can do this.
That's
six.
Pretty good.
I can't do the six books at hand thing. Like that's, I also can't reach my bookshelf right now, so none of them are at hand. So yeah,
all right, the six I posted would fit in my bag for sure.
All right, baby, what were the six you posted? I want to break this down, and I want to get pipes too.
Okay, so I posted Jeanette Oakes, Seasons of the Heart. It's a 4-volume series, a bunch of, you know, country romance novels.
Bonnet fiction, bodice rippers.
Wait, is 4 volumes, does that count as one book, or is that 4 books?
It's all in one book.
Okay, like, got you. Single volume, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, subtext, I'm sensitive. What's the next one?
The Care of Souls by Harold Sankbell. Like a pastoral book.
Subtext. I'm a sensitive pastor.
Shepherd.
Yeah, sorry. Sure. Sorry.
Whoops. Let's get the next one.
The Soul of Shame by his last name's Thompson. I don't know his first name. It's kind of going around our circle.
Pipe, what's the subtext on that one?
Soul of Shame. That's like that's sort of like Shepherd level up. So first one was like Heart of the Shepherd. This one's like Shepherd Counselor. So that would be like reading an Enneagram book, sort of.
Or it's like I see myself as imperfect. Like I'm just a regular guy kind of
thing. Yeah, I have to deal with my own stuff, that kind of thing.
I have to deal with my own shame. Yeah.
Enneagram 4, man. That's my book.
Four stuff. What's next, baby?
Preaching as Reminding. So just a preacher book by a guy whose last name is Arthur's. I don't know.
Subtext, I'm into the craft. You know, deep into the craft.
Always improving, always grinding. That's good.
Okay, we got two more.
Number five is a book just called Fika, which is sort of that Swedish practice of having dessert and coffee every day, every afternoon.
Subtext Europe.
Subtext curated Instagram life.
Yeah.
No, except that is really life for me. And then number six would be Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities, because, you know, the classics, boys.
Oh, yeah. You've not read four pages of that.
I was a little concerned that there was no creative nonfiction or novels. So thanks for – you closed out strong. That was good.
Dickens.
Dessert and Dickens to close things out.
I get
out
four
was a strong
pages
finish.
In every time on that thing, and I just am lost. So,
yeah, because
I'm just not that – I'm just not that bright. Yeah.
It's not a good novel flex, though.
Yeah, and it's great when you can find the novel that everybody feels guilty for not having read but won't admit to not having read, so they're just impressed with you. So it's just sort of the like, oh, we recognize this as a classic, haven't read it, so we can't really talk to you about it. It's
Yeah. Dude, it's a good kind of fun novel flex. Like it's more fun. People would roll their eyes if you did like a Russian author, like Dostoevsky, people would be like, "Oh, this guy."
yeah,
you know what I mean. Pretense. So like Dickens,
this insufferable guy.
It's a good safe like center cut novel flex.
I mean,
so
Tale of Two Cities is like it's. I mean, it is mildly insufferable.
Oh, you know? Totally, dude. All right, so I got a little follow up question. Then I want to get pipes. Follow up question: was the feedback what you hoped?
Oh, dude, I don't
how,
even know
what how and how not.
I literally have no idea. I don't think I got any feedback. I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So why would anybody post anything if not to get feedback?
Well, I'm.
You know
sure
what I'm saying?
I'm sure I got some feedback. I'm not really good at looking at feedback. I'm not really I'm not.
Well, there's like social media FOMO as well. Like you see everybody else doing this, you're like, if I don't, I don't. Like, so it's just sort of it's like an entry level. I have to be part of the club thing rather than we're going to critique one another's books. So
totally,
like this is a participation grade as much as it is, and like a how did you do on this actual project grade.
So you get like a pass fail for participating. Like okay, there's your six books, your six fake books. We got it.
It's just something. It's something you do out of boredom, and you didn't have to come up with the idea. And you go, okay,
dude. Isn't there a tipping point though on doing stuff out of boredom? Because you don't want people to think that you're not busy. You know what I mean?
Well,
so it's
here's the thing. If you're posting six books, the implication is you are reading six books. So you are clearly,
I'm busy like, as H. I'm crushing these books.
Like neck deep. And Ronnie was like four pastoral books and then two that were like just a little lifestyle. So
I think that's a good mix though. Like I think Ronald hit this. I think he crushed it in the sense of you got a little craft, you got a little like deep dive, you got a little shame. And you got a little fiction. You know?
You got you got a guilty pleasure. You got a couple of pastoral books that I'm supposed to read. Then you got sort of the Fika thing, which is like, okay, I'm not getting sort of the eccentricity of this guy. But then you bring it back home with Dickens, which is like, but he cares about the classics.
Yeah, dude, the Fika thing is insufferable as H if people wanted to lean into that. But like you only had one of them. You know what I mean? If you'd had like two things in that genre, it would have been
No,
it would
totally.
Have been too much by half.
I do own four Fika books, so I only put one.
Yeah. Well, it's
less insufferable knowing that like that's actually a lifestyle Ronnie is pursuing. So he's not sort of a.
I mean, that's problematic on a lot of levels.
It's not faux curation though. He's like, no, I genuinely want to learn how to be a Swede. Right. That's what I'm going for.
No, I mean genuinely. Like, I pursue coffee and baked goods like every afternoon whenever I have the chance. It's you can call it whatever you want. It can be as pretentious as you want it to be, but I literally do it because it's delicious. So
maybe hear this, and this is coming from someone who lived in Europe.
Loves
flex
me?
By me.
Oh,
okay. No. Flex by me about Europe. But I feel like you would make an amazing European because they're all about rest. They have the pleasant moment every afternoon. They call it the pleasant moment. It's the like
I would make such a better European than an American.
You'd make an incredible European.
How do you feel about bathing regularly?
4 days out of the year.
Yeah.
Bathing regularly, I'm not, I don't, you know, I'm good. I can take it.
Take it or leave it. Okay. Yeah.
Dude, see, if you're going to jettison bathing, though, you gotta couch it in some, like, aesthetic or environmental kind of reason, and then you're good to, like, get rid of it, you know?
Problem is that I don't have a lot of environmental leanings, and that really hurts me in all those departments.
Dude, it hurts you. I know it hurts you, baby, because, like, per our convo about Brett, like, I feel like you got to have some insufferable environmental leanings.
Yeah, I just don't mean that way at all.
We got to start dipping our toes in that.
No environmental, no political. I do not lean into those categories, and it's really, I mean, you speak about crushing. That's crushing me.
It's crushing you right now.
It's crushing
you got to learn the right level of, like, insufferability on those things to remain, like, cool and relevant. And that's,
well, I don't know how to care about things. It's hard to care about things that you don't.
Well, you just have to fake caring about it, which is what most people do, dude.
No, I mean, I can't fake stuff. But here's the thing. There's, like, a spiritual guidance sort of insufferability that sits above those things where you're sort of the reflective Thomas Merton-y kind of guy, where, like, never said anything about, you know, he's not famous for anything about social justice or, you know, hugging trees or whatever, but the sort of ethos has bled into those people. So, like, Ronnie can all out be spiritual guidance guy who sort of floats above the fray on those, which is its own sort of perfect insufferability.
You've said so many nice things about me the last few weeks, man. I don't. We need to talk off the air because I feel touched. I feel.
You guys got to bury the hatchet, man. You know? Are we good now?
You're wondering what I'm buttering you up for?
No, not at all. I take it as genuine. I'm genuinely touched by it. I'm not. There's no sarcasm here at all. I love it.
Maybe he wants to write a book with you finally.
No, he does not.
No, make that happen.
I don't do co-authors.
I really like that Ronnie has found his co-authoring direction elsewhere and is going to thrive in it.
Wilson, they don't co-author, baby. That's me and you. That's the purview of humble guys like us.
Humble guy, like, real.
Don't like writing entire books. People.
Yeah, that's right, man.
You tell Speaking me I can books. Write five chapters instead of 10, sign me
I'm
up.
I'm there. Speaking of books and Piper, what were Piper's six books on the social media?
I lay it up, right?
Well, we called this a pass-fail grade earlier, and I fail. I just didn't do it. So this was not I'm too cool for this. Like, I genuinely was looking for them. And then I was like, I don't have six books at hand. And then I realized to put
way this, to be honest, like, no,
I love how where it's like visions of you, like, searching through your house, not being able to find
Well, I mean, I have shelves full of books, but, like, I'm not reading.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be at hand.
Right. I didn't have six at hand. I was reading, like, two at the time, and neither of which was I particularly proud of. It was, like, you know, a spy novel and Tim Keller's marriage book, which is great. Like, that would be a good part of six, but not, like,
that would.
I would have gotten a partial grade anyway, because it's like, well, here's one third of the sixth, and one of them I was listening to, so it only sort of counts. But confession, like, I was borderline just curating the list. Like, what do I want to give the impression of? Because I could, you know, I could put together a solid curated six books if I wanted to. I would have grabbed, like, the Michael Jordan biography by Roland Lazenby, especially because it's very timely. Let's see. I probably would have thrown the Tim Keller book in there. I'm looking at my shelf in my office right now. Oh, like, Spurgeon's Lectures to My Students would be a strong one.
Oh, dude, there you go, Spurge.
And then I probably would have just finished it out with, like, three of my books for fun. You know, just
that be a good flex for this six books thing. Just put six of your own effing books on there. Right. You know,
just take here, that. Here, Internet. these are three that I have fond feelings for.
Exactly. Yeah, they were just, you know, they were at hand. They were right here.
What's sad is I have more of those at hand than I do books that I would actually like to read currently.
That's so sad, Pat.
Dude, did you guys do the internet flex like a month ago where people were like finding a hot picture of themselves at age 20 and posting that? Did you guys do that one?
No. I don't have any hot pictures from when I was 20.
I think my wife did that one. Did I do that? I can't remember. I honestly can't remember.
Dude, everybody looks good at 20. Like, if you don't look good at 20, you're just not going to look good ever. You know?
20 is your last hope.
Dude, so this is a pivot into our last topic. But my parents, man, shout out to my folks. They're celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Whoa. Probably by the time this episode drops. And we're having them down. We're doing a little party. And I'm putting, like, a book together for them, like a story of their life with pictures and, like, a narrative, and I'm really stoked about it. It's like the creative thing that I've been waiting for like 3 years. And so I'm going deep dive into this thing, but I'm looking at a lot of old pictures, and I found one of me and KK when we were 20. And it almost made me want to, like, get a Twitter just so I could post it. You know what I mean? That's how good we looked compared to like how I look now. You know, like,
we can do that from the Happy Rant Twitter account. If you're ever like, man, I need to post this. So just,
dude, I'm going to text you this pic. I can work with you on that. I might do it while we're on the air. I'm going to text you this pic now, but dude, I look like a third tier douche from like a 90s TV drama. And I mean that in a good way. You know what I mean?
Are you talking like I was about the douche back then or?
Yeah. Like back then. Not now, dude. I look like a guy in a show about old people now, but no, back then, man. Here, I'm sending it.
All right, I'm waiting for it to come through. I'm eager to see.
This is good rating.
Dude, TV villain Ted
and like a jawline. It's incredible.
Man, I remember those.
Those were the days. Yeah, yeah.
See, I'm at a stage right now. Like I don't know how dramatically different I look. I don't have a good enough self-impression to know how dramatically different I look from when I was 20, except that I was a lot skinnier then. Like, I was 175 pounds. I think you look the same,
dude. Pipe, you're one of those look the same dudes for sure. I mean, yeah. I've seen older pictures of you, and you're remarkably unchanged.
Is that a good – is that like true, aging bro. Gracefully, or is that just like having a baby face? I don't know.
I think it's both. Okay. I think it's both. Yeah, I mean, you'll, those dudes, so here's the bad news, Pipe, is like those dudes that just perpetually look young, one day they wake up and it's like, oh, dude, you look 56.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like that kind of a thing. But, dude.
Yeah, but you're 80 when that happens.
Right. You've made it. You're like stoked about it. All that time. It doesn't even matter by then, you know?
Yeah. Pipe, you're like white BJ Armstrong. You know what I mean? He appears on The Last Dance. He looks like he's 7 years old. You're like that guy for us.
Oh, Ted, the picture just came through. This is amazing.
I don't want you to go back to that. Can you go back to that look, man?
You got the little greased curl on the forehead.
Yeah, man.
That dude, I'm just like funny. Old and ruined, so I can't look. I can't.
No,
look,
you can. Can. You can. You can make the attempt, Big T.
Maybe that ship is sailed.
What was the context for this?
Because that ship is waiting at the dock to be reboarded. Come on.
Dude, so that guy next to me is my cousin, and we were at my other cousin's wedding, and I think we were trying to look like Boondock Saints. I don't know,
that guy couldn't look less like your cousin. What are we talking about here, T?
Oh, dude, he's my cousin, I promise.
Wow. Okay.
Speaking of my family, though, and speaking of my parents,
Can I gram this thing for you, Ted?
Yeah, you can gram it, baby.
All right. Let me get it up there, man.
Yeah, get it up there. See what happens. But yeah, dude. So my parents are celebrating their 50th. They're amazing people. But my mom's name is Karen. And Karen has become, like, as you know, like the internet kind of meme version of, like, just a lot of words I could use here, but obnoxious older white lady. Right. So if you're like a certain kind of older white lady, you're getting killed right now with the name Karen. But I want to defend my mom's honor by saying that she is nothing like that.
Poor Karen Cluck, man.
Dude, poor Karen Cluck. She's the sweetest, kindest.
The original KK. Part. The original double K.
Like I'm not worthy to be her son. You know, she's probably disappointed in how I turned out. Yeah, and
having met your mother, she gives off zero Karen vibes. Like,
totally, dude. She would never complain about anything publicly. You know what I mean? That's just anathema to her. She just wouldn't do it. So I hope this Karen thing blows over, boys. And like, my point in bringing this up was it started to register a little while ago. And I'm like, yeah, that'll just be an internet thing that blows over in a couple days. But it's socked in. Piper, how socked in is this thing? Is my mom ever going to, like, reclaim her honor as a Karen?
Yeah, it'll go away, but yeah, it's not just like the meme that gets shared, because it's a character. So like, you can now call people Karen. You know, it's the she's such a Karen, or that kind of thing. And it's gonna stick for a while. Now, hopefully your mother is not super invested in social media, because that could be hurtful for her.
She's less invested than I am.
Okay, that's both an amazing achievement and really a healthy place to be for her. But
the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
The crazy thing about this, I don't know how it ended up being Karen, because I've known probably half a dozen Karens in my life. Only one of them would I call this version of Karen. The other five or six are like the nicest, warmest people who never complain, who will go out of their way to make – like they're the ones who are going to seek out the manager to say how good the service was, not the types who are going to seek out the manager to complain that their salad dressing wasn't vinaigrette or whatever. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how Karen became that meme.
Dude, it bums me out. Like, it super bums me out. And
what name makes more sense than Karen? Like, if we were going to pick one, like, what is the...
Dude, that's good.
But
that's
Karen good. Is so classic. I mean, dude, like, it's so funny, because like me and my daughter, we had this thing about 10 years ago where we started coming up with like names that you would never name your doll, like names from the 70s. And like Karen was always one of those names. Again, it wasn't negative. It was like no parent is naming their kid. And I quote, you know, from 10 years ago, Karen, Janet, Shelly, Connie, Kathy.
Dude, I feel like Janet would be a great one for this.
But it's like one of those names where you can't even imagine those names kind of coming back as like most popular names.
But the thing is like, Janet is gone. Like Janet was a character in Friends or whatever, and she's not coming back. But Karen, like I know Karens who are in their 20s. Like Karen is a name that applies to like 60-year-olds and people who are. Yeah. So it's like it has a lifespan, which is a whole different thing than some of these
weird
other.
Weird lifespan.
You know, it's not like Gertrude, which just sort of disappeared with the greatest generation.
But then you could see that coming back, because, you know, like Henry's all like the cool name to name your son now. So like,
Henry's
you don't think Gertie's going to come back? I mean, that's going to come back.
I could see Gertrude.
Oh, yeah, it
coming
could
back.
For sure.
I really could, man.
But it's
for
just weird
kind of like.
For certain kind of people that are trying to be difficult in how they name their kids. Yeah, it could come back.
Like a bespectacled like hipster.
Totally.
You know, it'll totally come back.
But it's super weird to think that like, I don't know, like Pipe, like your kids might name their kids like Shelly or Karen or Janet. You know what
That'd
I mean?
Be
like,
dope.
One of my daughter's names is Diane, which is, it's a pretty mom name generationally. Not a lot of 11-year-old Dianes rolling around out there. But
how did I not know that? That's totally one of those names.
So Nancy. Diane,
yeah,
Judy,
Nancy's totally right there.
What were my friends' mom's name when I was growing up? Because like that whole generation, like they just sort of disappeared. Yeah. So there was like Karen. Yeah. There was like four Nancys, multiple Judys.
Dude, your daughter Diane is for sure gonna name her daughter like her daughter's Janet, Karen, and Shelly.
That would be.
It's dope.
So dope, dude.
It's inevitable. Those are going
to
be the names.
Dude, and I'm never taking them to a restaurant ever.
Dude, Shelly is an insane.
Dude, Shelly's on another level, man.
Next level.
My sister-in-law's name is Shelly.
Yeah, it's an all-timer.
My sister-in-law. My brother's wife's name is Shelly. And it's Rochelle, but she goes by Shelly.
Oh, is that the long version of Shell? I didn't know that.
I don't know. It's a long version. But
dude, there was a Shelly in my high school. She was like a senior when I was a freshman. And I just thought it was the coolest name. It was like a – dude, to me, it was like a TV name. You know what I mean? Like I almost thought of her as like a TV character.
Kind of like Connie.
For having the name Shelly.
Remember Connie?
Yeah, solid. Dude.
Every one of my mom's friends growing up was named Connie.
Yep.
I went to high school with Connie too, and she was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy, man. Crazy, crazy. Dude, so what's the real quick on the Karen thing, and then we'll wrap it. Is there and you guys have to tell me because you're on the internet. Is there like a white male equivalent of Karen? Because it can't be anything. Say what?
Kenny.
Yeah, okay.
No, I think it's Todd. Todd is the one that I've seen thrown around. And I,
dude, I was gonna say I don't want it to be Kenny because I've known a couple Kennys and they've been stellar people.
Yeah, I've only known one or two Kennys and I really like them.
I've
both.
Never known a great Kenny, or
dude,
a great
I've
Brian.
Honestly never known a great Todd.
I've never known a great Brian, Todd, or Kenny. Sorry for all you.
Dude, no, I ride with Brian, man. The guy in the Boondock Saints picture that I just sent you is Brian. Okay. I'm pro Brian. But,
were Todd and Karen the names of the neighbors in Christmas Vacation?
Yes.
Is they that what it were. Was?
Maybe that's the origin of this whole thing.
It might be.
It could be.
Because they are very like quintessential Todd and Karens.
Yeah. Sure. Guys, we have got to figure this out.
Yeah.
The this etymology of Karen meme. We must solve it.
Hey, what does etymology mean?
Like, what does it mean?
Yeah.
The origin of a word, where did it come from?
Oh, that's right. Okay, thank you. Go on, Ted.
Dude, there's got to be a male version like coming to the internet soon, though. And Todd is a strong contender.
But see, I
and
feel
Todd
like...
And Todd will be like... You know the kind of guy that's getting crapped on in the internet right now is like the guy that wears like Oakley sunglasses and camos and...
Todd, yeah, Todd.
Know, Todd, like that guy.
Chad.
Well, to be fair, Ted... In this picture you sent, you are one pair of white Oakleys away from being Todd instead of Ted. So you, the image you present in this is very white Oakleys worn backwards.
Dude, I'm like one shiny shirt away from being like Richard Grieco, you know, like in...
oh, was this from like your high school? Was this from your high school performance of Grease?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It kind of looks like that. What year is this, baby?
96. Yeah, 96,
could,
baby.
Could you give us a few bars of Teen Angel, please?
Yeah. Dude, I've never seen Grease, believe it or not, man. I feel like I'm the only person in
well, no, dude, America. It's scandalous. Of course you weren't allowed to watch that thing, Ted.
I don't know that I wasn't allowed to watch it. I just never watched it. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Why would I watch Grease? You know what I mean? Like in the Venn diagrams of different kinds of people. I just wasn't a Grease watching.
It was just slightly before your time, is what
I think
it was
man. Dude.
Weird crevice of being just early enough to where you didn't care about it.
Yeah, well, for sure.
And when it was like, even if you were around when it was popular, I doubt like musical theater was a big hit when you were like 8.
Yeah, so, no, right? Like we weren't going to school talking about like, hey, did you guys see Cats? You know,
I was only familiar with Grease because one of my brothers was in it as one of their high school theater productions, and so like I saw it at 6 or something like that. In
dude, I'm surprised Roosevelt High School. Johnny P was cool with that because Grease is a little it's a little risque.
So, yeah, but you know, if your kid is like, I'm going to go devote my time to theater, you just sort of write off anything they're doing, and you're like, you know, that's a
you've
better
already
use.
Given up.
Yeah, well, and it's a better use of time than a lot of alternatives, you know. So
that's true.
You know,
you're just so happy they're not doing drugs. It's like just act, just pretend act.
Exactly. Exactly. Well,
you
boys,
know, I'll tell you what would be great. Yeah, is to end this.
Nah, baby, I was trying to end it. That was my ending the program,
your
boys.
Pivot, your pivot side.
That was my pivot. Well. That was my good radio. Yeah. Yeah. Boys, we've done what we always do on this program. I feel like we came back strong. You know, I feel like to use a sports analogy, we lost by like 50 last week, but I feel like we eked one out this week.
You feel like we won, or we just didn't lose by as much?
I think we didn't lose by as much. It was a what we call in sports a moral victory. You know what I mean?
Like,
it was a respectable show.
We showed we can play with the big boys. I don't know that we defeated anybody, but you know, we weren't an embarrassment.
We got off the schneid. We are who we thought we were, to quote Dennis Green.
Yes. May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. That's right. Boys, we've done what we always do in this program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout some topics while drinking Red Bud City Coffee Roasters. Drink Red Bud. Lest we forget. Never forget. Hashtag never forget Red Bud Coffee. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Dedicating time each day to spend feeding our minds and our hearts the truth of God's Word is immensely helpful in our growth as followers of Christ. I'm John Stonge, and each day I host a show called Daily Devotions with Pastor John. On the show, I spend just a few minutes taking an applicational look at one or two verses of Scripture before coming to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to make a habit of spending more time meditating on the truth of God's Word, you can listen to Daily Devotions with Pastor John at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.